This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
Listen, I know that I'm a stickler for details. I come from the old school, learn it from my dad, and I know our next guest, Bill Chow, is from the old school. I've heard in past places that I've worked that I wasn't that well-liked, because guess what? I held people accountable. And also, guess what? We won!
How about that?
Details, details, details. Details win, details lose. Are you winning now?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Yeah! Welcome into hour two of the program. We are coming at you live, coming in hot with Canada's daytime sports talk show. Thank you. It's a carryover from hour one, and I'll try to get to as many of these questions as I can. Arash Madani is our only guest of hour two, and he's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We got a lot of time to sink into these topics today. As Darren would say, lean into it. You have changed. As part of the, you know, how in the world now, nothing's really new.
Right.
That's the phrase of just run with it.
Yep.
Or play to your strengths in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lean into it.
Lean into it.
That's a DuPont thing. So we can settle into these topics. For one, Brady in Saskatoon says, Habs are going to be good this year. I'd laugh if the Leafs lost out in the first round again. Well, so did Montreal. So,
yeah.
Wayne in Victoria says, if Winnipeg can get some good young players for the future, then I would make the trade for Laine. We talked a lot about Patrick Laine in hour one, and I feel like we'll be talking a lot about him in hour two. Dwayne Light, watching from Canada's football capital, says, what do you think about the Facebook rumor that Trevor Lawrence will stay at Clemson another year to avoid being drafted by the Jets? Wouldn't surprise me. But from everything that I read and see about Trevor Lawrence, he wouldn't be afraid of going to the New York Jets or that challenge at all. And it's bunk. It sounds like a lot of fake news to me.
I've seen Roddy White from the Falcons, great, the receiver.
Yeah.
You know, say that he should go back. I've seen other guys suggesting that just stay, play your senior year at Clemson. Don't hurt to get a degree, right? And play another year and finish up your classes. But if Trevor Lawrence stays in Clemson because the New York Jets are going to get the number one overall pick just to avoid them, then I don't want to draft him the next year either. Even if I have the number one pick.
You don't want to be the team that does it.
I don't want him on my team. I don't want him anywhere near my roster if he chooses to. But I like what you said. Seems like he's the guy who would accept the challenge. And I hope he's... Your quarterback is supposed to be your leader. Not a guy who's just looking for a good fit and looking to join a winning program. He's supposed to be the reason why you are a winning program. So I hope that he just goes in the draft if he wants to. I hope he doesn't avoid the Jets.
I don't think he will. He just seems to be a man of character. He wants his shot. He's been building for this. It will be interesting, though, because they do have Sam Darnold there, and he's supposed to be coming back here right away.
That's the one concern, yeah. Right?
Is that, what?
Too many? Is that they like Sam Darnold, right?
Yeah.
And that he's supposed to be the future.
Boy, well, we're not getting off topic. This is what I wanted all along, is to converse with you folks today on what would normally be a coffee discussion. Today it's a Red Bull discussion, as we got this shipped to us from Andra. Did you say she's in Winnipeg?
I believe
the
so.
The shipment came from Winnipeg.
She's in Manitoba.
From Red Bull Canada. The winter edition, Frosted Berry. They sent it to us first to try it. The guy never said anything, Paul Shanks, when I said, I do the talking, you do the watching. Nobody said that. No, or he never came back. Or maybe he never left. He never responded to that. I'm sorry. I just get annoyed with people telling us what we should talk about on our show. Because if I've often said this. If I walk into McDonald's and say, hey, y'all aren't doing your burgers right. This is how you need to do your burgers. You know what they would do? There's the door. So that's what. There it is right there. There it is. He says, he's like, sorry. He's basically saying, he's not apologizing to me. He says our technical guys need to get on something with regards to advertising. Did you hear Clark just go, oh.
Something was overlaying.
We all misread that.
I got it. Well, that's okay. It made for a great segment of the show, and I'm not sorry.
No. Right? No.
But, you know, it's good. I'm glad he's still sitting around.
Robin Wilde in Prince Albert says, Connor Bedard played one game with that Swedish junior team. Hey, we saw the highlights. He was skating circles around everybody. play for Team Canada at the World Juniors. Paul says, I couldn't hear your show. Well, I hope we got it figured out, Paul, for you. I appreciate you sticking with us. Oh, Jordan, Director Jordan tells us it's a you issue, not an us issue. I don't know. I'm just sitting here talking. I can't be on both sides of the screen. Jennifer Illingworth says, as an Oiler fan, not scared of a rebuild. Been rebuilding since 2006. If there's a team that has a damaged fan base, it's the Edmonton Oilers. And actually, I'm afraid that the Dallas Cowboys are becoming that. I've been thinking about this. We as Cowboys fans can't sit and dream about the triplets or the Coach Landry years and just think we're still the Dallas Cowboys. Because that's what the people in the NHL kind of snicker at the Oilers about. That they still think they're the 80s Oilers.
Do you think that's an issue? That you come into the year talking about the new triplets? Or even, you know, the four, right? And then they're touted as Super Bowl contenders or favorites before the season started. I mean, Dak hasn't played in a week and a half, right? Mm-hmm. Or in a game and a half. And he's still the league's leading passer when it comes to passing yards.
And they are on pace for the worst defense in the history of the National Football League.
Unbelievable to have the number one offense and the 32nd ranked defense. And then you're not going to win games that way. But, you know, does it become a problem that just because they're the Dallas Cowboys, the expectations are that they should be contending for the Super Bowl?
And I guess that was my point with, thank you for the reminder, Jennifer. Jordan, let's re-up on the Quick Six show topics, if you don't mind, because that was one of my points. Point one, the World Series is now 1-1. Tampa Bay beat the Dodgers 6-4 last night to even the series. And it looks like we have a series. As they say, it's now down to a best of five. One thing that we have not had to endure in these playoffs, Stanley Cup, NBA, and now baseball, is the idiotic, inane saying, you're never in trouble in a series until you lose at home. Dumbest saying ever. Dumb. Best of seven that goes seven games, you could lose every road game and lose the series. But you never lost at home, so I guess we're not in trouble. Who came up with that?
You're in trouble when you're facing elimination. Period.
I want to know. Who came up with that idiotic saying? And why do people continue to use it? Because it makes no sense.
A coach came up with it to keep his team confident. When you lose the first two games in a seven-game series on the road, hey, we're not in trouble. They got home ice advantage. They were supposed to win. They took care of business. Now we got to go take care of business.
News flash. At home. When you're down 0-2, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Point two, should the Seahawks sign AB? My take on that, which I said an hour ago, is I would want assurances that Antonio Brown has got his act together because there's nothing saying that he has. Oh, he hasn't tweeted for a month. Oh, he must have cleaned up all of his issues then if he's not tweeting. Give me a break. Until Antonio Brown stands before the world and says, I've changed, I've screwed up, I want to help somebody and contribute to a team, I wouldn't sign him. He has not said that yet. Point three, your team announces a rebuild. How do you feel about that? Jennifer, the Oilers fan, says her team's been in a rebuild since 06. I get it, but the Jets have been in a rebuild since the 70s. Winnipeg Jets. And for that matter, the New York Jets. Really since 1968. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that when they won the Super Bowl with my boy Namath? It was before both of our times.
It was.
But anyways, I don't need a GM to tell me that we're going into a rebuild or not. I don't need that. I can see it.
It's different in Chicago, I feel, because of the players that they have. It's different. Like, if this is Detroit, if this is Ottawa, you know they're in a rebuild. And that's almost a refreshing take. But when you still have the stars, like Taves and Kane and Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook, even if they're past their prime, which I don't think they're completely out of that window yet, but they might be or close. That's why it's hard to stomach because, like, well, we still can hang on to all these cup memories and these. We still have guys who could win, and we just won a series. We don't want to give up on that yet when there's still a chance. right? When you've got nothing, when you don't have stars and you don't have those pieces and you just have young players, then I think, okay, we know we're in a rebuild. But I think there's a bit of an identity crisis in Chicago right now.
Which there shouldn't be either, by the way.
Look at the standings. Yeah. There's only one reason why you got Kirby Doc in the first place.
Colin in Ottawa says Antonio Brown will kill the great culture in Seattle. The Seahawks already have the best offense in the NFL. Why take a chance on such a problematic player? That's what I'm saying. What do you need him for? What do you really need him for? Why are you even talking about this? Makes no sense. And Colin goes on to say the Jets won Super Bowl III, which was held on January 12, 1969. So, yes, it was the 1968 season. You're welcome. Wayne in Victoria says it's hard to feel sorry for the Cowboys as they've won their fair share of Super Bowls. We're not asking for sympathy. Not looking outside the walls of the facility. They need to get it together inside. We don't want sympathy. I'd rather be hated than somebody feel sorry for me. Believe me, I've had both. I'd far rather be hated because we're winning.
Yeah.
Than felt bad for because we can't get our spit together. So back to the rebuild thing. I realized this really when I left the Rough Riders, that sport is sport. The concepts are the same in every sport, at every level. So the Riders were so fearful in 2012 of saying the term rebuild because it was a swear word. I never had it said to me by the president, Jim Hobson, that that's a thing. But it was Brendan Tam and the GM would not say rebuild, nor would Corey Chamberlain. And it was like, guys, what are we doing here? What are we doing for a reno? Like, is it just we're repainting and putting down new carpet, new flooring? Or are we like ripping down to the studs here? What are we doing? They wouldn't say. Refused to say. And it really was a full-scale rebuild. It really was. And that 2012 season, the Riders made the playoffs. And that's one thing that that's when I knew Corey Chamberlain really knew what he was doing. Because if you recall, 2012 West semifinal in Calgary, Riders lost on that last play. We talked to Drew Tate about it. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Riders thought they had it in the bag. There's less than a minute to go, I believe. The Stamps are scrimmaging from their 35. And Drew Tate throws a bomb to Rombie Bryant. I won't say who the DB was that got caught flat-footed on the play. I can see it right now. Riders lose. And on the flight home, Corey Chamberlain's writing down a list of players that the team needs for next year. And he's giving it to Brendan Tamman. We need this guy. We need this guy. We need this guy. And we will win. On that list was Dwight Anderson. The Dirty Bird.
Wow.
That kind of tells you who was guilty of getting caught flat-footed because DA was in that guy's spot the next year. But he's like, we need this. And then that list also included a Ricky Foley. It included, they got G. Roy Simon, right? But I'm like, this guy knows exactly what it's going to take to win. But they never would say a rebuild. And I just thought, you are doing a rebuild. I'm just trying to get you guys to say it. Why won't you say it? But they wouldn't say it. Teams don't want to do it. And that's why this is earth-shattering news right now that Stan Bowman sends a letter to the season ticket holders in Chicago saying we're going into a rebuild. It's earth-shattering news because who says that anymore?
Nobody. Nobody. And I don't know why a general manager wouldn't say it.
Because he's not the marketing department.
He's not the marketing department. But he should. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't want to say it because what a pressure off move for a GM to say, yes, we're going to build this the right way. We're in a rebuild. We're not going to win for the next couple of years. It's okay, but we will get better. And then when the results aren't there, you can be like, yeah, we're right on track. So nobody can come into your office and say, why aren't you winning? And then if you win, it's like, well, because I'm here. We're overachieving.
We're ahead of schedule.
Look how great I am.
We're ahead of schedule.
Ahead of schedule, right? And if you're not, if you're behind schedule, you can just play it off as, yeah, we're right on plan. I think it takes the pressure off. Takes the heat off.
The viewer said earlier that the fans, you know, nobody has any patience anymore.
No. That's right.
Doesn't matter. You can't speed up the process. And by the way, you know, the Riders did it right in that era with Tamman and Chamblain, and then in 2015 they probably didn't do it right because the coach and GM got fired. Same guys got fired. Remember? Because they didn't want to, and whether it was because it was out of loyalty or whatever. And for the rest of you fans of CFL teams or other sports, this is my experience, but I think it translates to all of your teams too. It's the same mentality. And it cost them their jobs, right? And then Chris Jones comes in and just starts, what, he cut 19 guys on one day?
Yep.
Less than a week after having the job. And that was a rebuild. Well, I didn't need to be told it was a rebuild. Did you?
No. You knew. When a team has that bad of a year, the year before, there's no expectations that they're going to be favorites for a championship the next season.
Well, and furthermore, I'm just going to get to some of these Prairie Mobile text messages here. And furthermore, I think the players are owed an answer. Like, for Jonathan Toews and Seabrook and Duncan Keith and Kane. Guys, we're going into a rebuild. Do you want to be part of this or not? Instead of trying to fool them. Yeah, we're going to try and win it, but we're also bringing in these young guys. Just be straight with them. That's what any team wants, and that's what Stan Bowen, I believe, is doing, and that's why they've won 3 Stanley Cups in his time. If you're honest with people, honest with your players, that's the way that it should be.
Yeah.
Prairie Mobile text line, a few. From Bob in Grand Prairie, he says, and the Jets need defensemen too. Chevy will know what to do. That's the thing. I almost wonder why we're even spending so much time on Patrick Laine, because Kevin Cheveldayoff will do the right thing. He'll do the best thing. That guy should have been named GM of the year. I guess you got to win a cup to be in contention for that.
Tough. I would think so, or at least be pretty close. But he would be in contention in terms of what he did with that roster, for sure.
I guess, and you also need to, in a way, stand up to your players. I remember both Pat Quinn and Ty Domi told me this. Domi charged into Pat Quinn's offices and says, Pat, why do you have me on the fourth line? Do you know what Pat Quinn said? Because we don't have a fifth line.
That's great.
There's a Leaf story
for you.
That's
great. But
true story.
It's true. Honesty. Imagine how powerful, like, yes. Do you have any idea how powerful honesty can be? Guys?
Exactly.
Like,
well, but it hurts your feelings.
No, sets the expectation right away. We love you, but you're a fourth liner.
You're on the fourth line. Jim Wagner writes in, hello, RP Nation. Thanks for doing what you do. Enjoying the show as always. Have a great day. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. Oh, I meant to read this last hour, and I didn't. I'll read it here, then we're going to break and come back on it. Jer writes in at 306-840-8777, says, Mr. Rod Peterson and company, question. Does anyone know exactly why CFL coaching staffs continue to get paid while players under legal valid contract draw zero pay? It's perplexing, to say the least. How did this divisive situation arrive? How and why? CFL continues to exist for some, not so for others. I learned this a while back. It's okay to say, I don't know. And in this instance, I don't know. It's one of the several things that the Canadian Football League maybe could fix when it comes back, whenever that is. The inequality within the league. I'm not expecting it. But Jerry, you want an answer? I don't know the answer. It's not fair. Life's not fair. We'll be back, and Arash Madani will join us as well. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
What? Welcome back. What are you going to say?
No, I said I'll drop one now. Meaning, you know, we were talking about the Jets coverage, and now we're getting Winnipeg fans all over social media following us, and they're in the comments wanting more Laine talk, and, you know, play to your strengths, like, lean into it. So the Winnipeg talk, I'm cool.
I showed him Twitter followers that are Dustin, hashtag Winnipeg Jets fan for life is his bio. Hi to all the Jets fans, all the Winnipeggers. I think that if we sat here and talked about Jets and Bombers every day, we'd take off like a rocket.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Darren that we could talk CFL every day. like we were CFL Network, I would love to do that. But we would need a little help from the league and the teams to do that. I mean, we don't have to have it, but it would be nice.
Yeah.
Or we can sit and talk about Patrick Laine every day and everybody, our numbers go. We'll get Arash Madani on in a second. Glenn Erickson writes in from Alberta from the website dubnetwork.ca, follows the WHL, and I write 40. Says, I don't know, I think life is fair. I mean, life sure beats the alternative. It's just that sometimes people screw it all up. That's the truth. Life is easy. It's people that make it difficult. I will say just one last thing before we bring on Arash. It's part of the sports update that I'll read in its entirety next segment. But Dolphins coach Brian Flores says he regrets that his players found out about the team's switch to quarterback Tua Tagovailoa through social media rather than from him. Tua, the fifth pick in the April draft, will make his first NFL start, no, week 8, against the LA Rams. He replaces Ryan Fitzpatrick. What a great spot to bring in Arash Madani a couple minutes earlier than scheduled on that, about info getting out ahead of the scheduled denouncing to the team. Arash, you know a little bit about that kind of stuff. Let's just start with the Dolphins and segue over to the CFL. Do you think this is the right move by Flores to make a quarterback switch?
You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick already knew from the jump he was the placeholder. I just don't understand the timing of it now. I look at the schedule for the Dolphins coming up, and it's going to be a week one after the Rams. But you have a bye week. You give your young kid a chance to do this. I just wonder what kind of impact this may have on a locker room. For, you know, for the first time in, what, 25 years, the AFC East is a winnable division. What message are you sending when the vet has you right in the hunt for a division title?
That's the point, 3-3. But you know yourself. You never know what's going on in a locker room. A pretty good friend of mine used to coach Fitzpatrick, and he doesn't care for him. So maybe the guy...
I know he doesn't.
Right. So,
and he didn't then when they were in Buffalo together. And I think your friend's evaluation was wrong.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, obviously, I mean, how much longer has Fitzpatrick survived in the NFL since your friend coached him there? It's coming up on a decade.
I'm just saying, he didn't say he wasn't talented. He didn't like his attitude or maybe his personality, but you sniffed that one out pretty good. Well done, sir.
It was interesting, though, that Fitzpatrick said, other than Buffalo, for the first time ever, he felt that this was his team. This was his locker room in Miami, and then they made the switch.
Cool. So, okay, the big rumor. I have so many questions to get to you. I hope you got some time here.
Yes, sir.
One, that Trevor Lawrence may skip the draft this year, stay another year at Clemson because he doesn't want to go to the Jets. I would have a tough time believing that. Have you heard that?
I haven't. Now, look, if we were having this conversation last year at this time, it looked like the Dolphins were tanking. And it looked like the Dolphins were the hopeless team. The Dolphins weren't going to win a game. The Dolphins were going to have the number one overall pick. And then obviously Joe Burrow goes to Cincinnati because it was the Bengals. Now, the Jets do look hopeless. They have one of the worst head coaches in the history of football. And they're on the long road to nowhere. I'm just not fully convinced that somehow, some way, they can't get a win. And if they do, will there be another 1-15 team? Well, I guess all I'm saying is, Roddy, I'm not sure the Jets are going to have the number one overall pick. I think it's just a little too early in mid-late October to make that proclamation, despite how awful they are.
Yes, and I'm with you. And I don't even, from what I've read about Trevor Lawrence, and I know guys that know him, that doesn't make sense that he would do that. Vikings made a trade today. Are they tanking for Trevor?
I hope so. Because Kirk Cousins is hopeless and they're on the long road to nowhere without him, but they now have to sell off assets. And so it was a complete mismanagement of that asset, what they gave up to get Yannick, and now they move him over to Baltimore. But the Vikings, by the time they get good again, Rod, you know, this whole nucleus is going to be gone. The Harrison Smiths, the Anthony Barrs, although he's on IR right now, you know, I think Dalvin Cook you still can keep around for a bit, and Justin Jefferson looks to be the real deal. But if you can get real value for for Kyle Rudolph, for Harrison Smith, for Anthony Harris, you absolutely unload and you have to start over again. The challenge in Minnesota, Roddy, and you know how this game goes, the head coach and GM in August just got contract extensions. So what are you going to do? Are you going to part ways? Are they going to be on board with a rebuild, et cetera, et cetera? So that mess is ongoing.
No kidding. Okay, so switching gears to a happier topic, I think. I saw Mark Shapiro's media availability yesterday with the Blue Jays, and I saw on the graphic on the screen on Sportsnet that Shapiro's contract's up at the end of this year. Should he be renewed? Yeah, what do you think about where this team is going? I personally think he should. What do you think?
I think he will be renewed. Moving forward this offseason, in baseball especially, because there's no salary cap, I'm interested to see, coming off a season where there were no revenues whatsoever other than broadcast money, what is spending going to be like? Look, George Springer is going to make his money. He's the premier free agent coming out of baseball right now. But what else? What will Marcus Stroman command? What will even a Jackie Bradley Jr. get on the open market? Freddie Freeman's going to be up with Atlanta. You know, after COVID, let's understand, the Chicago Cubs, for instance, Rod, are discussing losses of up to $140 million this season. So when you're not in a cap league, what do you do? I think at this point of things, with the instability in the entire industry, it makes a ton of sense to keep Shapiro. Obviously, they snuck into the playoffs this year. They have a young core that's on the way up. The one, if you're a Blue Jay fan, Roddy, the encouraging note from Shapiro yesterday was, we are going to approach this offseason like we did last. And last offseason, they brought in Hyunjin Ryu, a front-of-the-line ace pitcher. So that's an encouraging message from the Blue Jays president.
Very much so. But it reminds me, and his owner is your owner, Rogers. And he said they've got the green light to spend. And it reminds me, who was the guy, the old newspaper guy that used to run the Blue Jays, the tall, skinny guy?
Paul Godfrey,
yes. Same thing. It doesn't seem to me like they've ever pinched pennies in Toronto. They're not going to be the Yankees or the Red Sox, but they haven't been cheap either. Am I right on that?
Well, let's remember 2015 when it was time to go for it. Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston got the green light to add. Not only did they bring in Russell Martin, but then at the deadline, they went and got Troy Tulowitzki. They went and got David Price. They made a business case that made sense. Now, what Shapiro said was, we are going to make a presentation to ownership. We believe they are going to be on board. But outside of Ryu, Roddy, and I guess Randall Grichuk, they're not paying anybody.
Yeah.
Vlad, Biggio, Jansen, they're all on rookie deals. So, in terms of payroll right now, the Blue Jays are very low when it comes, in comparison to the rest of baseball. They have some flexibility and they have some room to go do something. And if they're going to go do something, I wonder if center field is an option. I wonder if third base is an option. You can never have enough pitching, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There was a long drought between good years for the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm just wondering, what's the feeling in Eastern Canada? Because out here, people are very excited. And Steve Simmons said it years ago, if you're not selling wins, you better be selling hope. And the Blue Jays are doing that. It's pretty exciting.
Because of that young group. Look, Bo Bichette is going to be the face of the franchise. He's going to be somebody that you are going to know. I think Kevin Biggio is a really intriguing piece because I think he played something like 5 or 6 different positions over a course of 10 or 12 days this season. He's a real versatile piece to that whole equation. And wait till Nate Pearson finds his way in the big leagues. Roddy, he throws 100, 101, 102. He brings the heat, and he is dialed in and wants to be, the ace, the guy. So there are some pieces there, and now it's a matter of, okay, let's put this puzzle together. Let's go make this happen. They've knocked on the door. And look, the AL East is the AL East, but a team whose payroll is $29 million just beat the New York Yankees, whose payroll was $110 million, and the Tampa Rays in that AL East division are playing in the World Series, and it's 1-1 with the Dodgers right now.
Yeah. So We've had some viewers earlier on write in and say, are you talking CFL today? And I said, no, there's nothing to talk about. And they left. Just before you came on, you saw me say, we could talk CFL every day. We could be CFL Network, but we would need some help. And right now, there's not a lot of good news to talk about. Certainly, your report this week about the fines, $25,000, has got everybody talking. What's your thought on the reaction to that report and then where we're going with the 2021 season, given the fact that they're saying the Raptors are going to be playing out of Louisville next year? I don't see how that's good news for the CFL in terms of crowds up here.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of things. One, the fines have nothing to do with the CBA and the players. Let's get that out of the way. This was a reaction that the league office and the commissioner was upset with the reporting of what was happening in GM meetings and the presentation to governors. At this point, Rod, this is what I'm told, is that there have been some preliminary plans made in terms of mapping out ideas of how they can go about on a return to play for next year based on some different scenarios, trying to figure out, okay, if we're allowed X number of fans, can this work? How are all the logistics of that going to work? But at this point, with anything, not just the CFL, if you're running a music festival, if you're running anything, you're guessing. You're guessing and you're mapping out scenario A, B, C, and D on how this may go. Because nobody has any assurance on what the border is going to look like. Nobody has any assurance on what capacity in stadiums can look like. But when the CFL shut down in August, they said, we're going to use this time to really come together and put a business plan in place that is going to make sense for us. And on that front, Rod, I'm not sure how much has been done. They're trying to figure out a way to play next year. This is the information I've been given, is they're trying to figure out a way to play next year more than they're trying to figure out a business plan. Now, that said, they're going to go to the players and say, we need to redo the CBA. If you're the players, let's remember that CBA goes through the end of 2021. If I'm the players, I'm saying, all right, well, what's coming back my way? Because if the scenarios were reversed, and I understand it's a pandemic, but we just saw what baseball did to its players. You have to give something up if you're the league. And I'm intrigued to see what the league is willing to do there.
Did you see the tweet from your close friend and mine, Bob Irving, who is clearly on Team Ambrosi? I'm sure you saw it. He said, if there's no COVID next year, the CFL plays. If there's still COVID, they won't. And players are going to need to take less money. Do you see that? The salary caps get a...
I don't know how, and I understand what Bob is saying. I still think there's a way that COVID is going to be around in some shape or form next year. That's the reality of the situation. A pandemic is not just going to vanish in the next 6 months. The question becomes, will there be a way in these stadiums to, through social distancing or whatever protocols, to make it happen where you can have X thousand fans come into your building? That's the question. And if what's that X number, and will that X number be good enough to mitigate some losses that make it sensible enough to play? But I think even when they announce a vaccine, I have a hard time believing that this is not Folgers. This is not Maxwell House. This is not instant coffee here. This is not instant results and that everything is going to go back to normal. There is going to be a process to get back to normalcy, and it's going to be gradual. This is not going to be one of those deals, Rod, where you just wake up one day, flip on the lights, and it's back to 2018. These are the conversations I've had with health professionals who have told me this. So the question will become, what's the magic number in terms of percent capacity that would make financial sense for the CFL to return? And under that, would fans be willing to pay a premium on their tickets to come watch? Because obviously you're going to have to charge more than you had been charging in the past.
This has been the best that anybody has laid it out, is what you just did. And I guess it'll be up to the fans to see if they do, if they will. Lastly, I just saw from Sid Sixero's Twitter this morning about the Louisville Raptors discussion. I didn't even know it was on the radar. Where are we? What's the report on the Raptors playing out of Louisville next season?
Yeah, that came out yesterday. I'm not quite certain, to be honest with you. I have a hard time believing that the Raptors' home will not be in the United States next year. I originally thought maybe Buffalo could be an option because it's close. It's in the same time zone. It's in proximity to Brooklyn and New York, Philadelphia, et cetera. It's not that far from a travel standpoint. I thought maybe Connecticut. Hartford's got a facility. Maybe that would be a scene. But perhaps Louisville, maybe the NBA is looking, A, to expand in and around that area. They have a great facility where Rick Pitino's former, when he was coach there, played. So I think they're just throwing some things around right now, but I believe that the Raptors' home floor, when the season begins, and there's talk that may be around Dr. Martin Luther King Day, which would be in late January, would be in the United States. I believe that's going to be the case.
Amazing. Well, this has been a fantastic report. Thank you so much, my man, for the time. As always, go Vikings, and as always, stay safe out there.
You too. One last thing, Rod. 6 days ago, Friday afternoon, what's that prime for? Your news dump? Personal reasons, Ed Hervey? Personal reasons in a pandemic to give up a job that's paying you, what, over $300,000? Look, I'm not buying it, okay? There is zero stress on a general manager right now. General managers are doing absolutely nothing in the Canadian Football League right now. One front office person told me that they're tired of playing golf right now. You can't scout anybody in U Sports because it's not happening right now. There's a little bit going on with the NCAA. You've done all your evaluations already for present CFL players. That makes zero sense whatsoever. And I saw Dunk on with you. I think this has a lot to do with the Mike Riley situation. To give up that job right now and to have that be unveiled on a Friday afternoon, to me, I'm not saying it's definitive, Rod, but I will suspect that Mr. Hervey was told either you resign or you're not going to be here anymore. That's my read on the situation. And the other CFL nugget I have for you, that at least one community-run team has told its football operations folks, start bracing for another pay cut in and around a 15% pay cut moving forward. So those are the two things I wanted to also share with you info-wise on the CFL front.
Yep. Well, I know 3Down's going to have more on that Hervey stuff any day. So thank you, sir. Sportsnet's Arash Bonetti checking in from Hogtown. Just before we break, Armando Moreno's watching in Mexico City. LFA reporter, football reporter down there. Can you put that up on the screen, guys? He says, yesterday I was basically told that I'm not a serious guy because I mentioned to an LFA media member that the CFL 21 season is uncertain. They're more than 100% sure the season is taking place. We can talk about that more when we come back. A sports update. Overtime's coming up. Hang on. It's the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. This has been a great show today. Rose Henry writes in from Edmonton. She's an Edmonton football fan. She says, it isn't fair to speculate on Hervey. Maybe he has a serious health issue. We don't know. Well, Rose,
yeah.
The insider reporters are saying that he doesn't have a serious health issue, and they're not going to let this die. So my column that I wrote at rodpeterson.com last weekend, my 10 things, I said, I'm staying out of it. It's a personal matter. But for people that are the insiders, they want to get to the heart of the matter, right? That's what they do. And if it's not personal issues with Ed Hervey, they're going to write about it.
That's their job.
It is their job. As sports update has promised, day off at the World Series, the Tampa Bay Rays tied the best of seven series at 1-1 with a 6-4 win over the LA Dodgers last night in Arlington. The Rays have righty Charlie Morton on the mound for Game 3 tomorrow. He is 3-0. Tiger Woods returns to action today. The American star is the defending champion of the Zozo Championship. The event will be played this year in California. It is normally held in Japan, but was moved this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Two struggling teams square off tonight in the NFL's Thursday Nighter. The Philadelphia Eagles bring a 1-4-1 record into their home game against the 1-5 New York Football Giants. Despite their poor records, both teams are in contention in the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys, America's team, lead the division at 2-4. By the way, that's our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who will win the NFC least? And on Facebook and Twitter, the majority are saying the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to go out on a limb. The winner of tonight's game will win the division.
There you go.
Philadelphia, if they win it, I mean, it just flexes their muscles as being a team that can do it. If the Giants somehow do, it'll be 2 in a row for them. And maybe they get it figured out. The winner of tonight will win the division.
Are you shocked that I'm not even putting up a fight?
No, it's such a bad division.
So bad. Cares?
The Cowboys should still win it. Andy Dalton is more than capable. They should still win the division. They should. But I just somehow, I think tonight's game will be a season-defining game.
Bragging about winning the NFC East is like bragging about being the tallest dwarf in the circus.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy will be the next coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. He will replace Alvin Gentry, who was let go after the Pelicans went 30-42 this season and missed the playoffs. Van Gundy spent parts of 12 seasons coaching Miami, Orlando, and Detroit, winning 58% of his games and going to the playoffs 8 times. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars. I'll be having one for lunch today, or at least before I head to Moose Jaw to actually have lunch. The best you'll ever have. 7 amazing flavors. Sorry, make it 8 with the addition of almond mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours at g2gbars.ca. I listened to an interview with Stan Van Gundy last week. It's kind of funny. It was on ESPN Radio with Dan Le Batard, I think. And they were saying, would you ever get back into coaching? And he basically said, no. And they were like, oh, come on. If you offered a job, you'd take it. And Van Gundy's like, well, it'd have to be the right job. It would have to be the right pay. Stan Van Gundy's been around. I just said he's coached Miami, Orlando, and Detroit. Those jobs don't come at minimum wage. Like, he probably doesn't have to coach.
No, he doesn't. Coaches want to coach. He said this before. Players want to play. That's what they want to do. It gets pretty comfortable, though. Once you put your feet up and get on the couch, it's hard to get off, right? It's hard to get back to work, but you know what? If he gets the right opportunity, the fire will be there, for sure.
Well, I've never understood it before until I was in that position. Like, Brendan Tamman, like, within 24 hours after I left the Rough Rider job, Brendan Tamman texted me, and he goes, you're going to have the time of your life. Just hold on. You're going to enjoy it. Because I could never figure out after Tamman left, I'm like, why is he not pursuing this GM job in Edmonton? Why is he not pursuing this GM job in Montreal? And I would hear from his brother Barry all the time. Brendan's good. He's out on Vancouver Island, and he's just going to take the right opportunity. He can afford to be choosy. Well, I never understood what that meant. Now I get it.
Power.
Well,
control over your own life.
Yeah, but I'm saying money was never an issue for Brendan.
Right.
And if that's your motivating factor, that's not the right factor. So I get it now. I don't have to worry about money, so I'm not worried. It reminds me of your conversation, if you don't mind me saying, with Don Cherry's son last week, right? You're like, what are you doing? Tim Cherry runs all of Don Cherry's affairs, business-wise, and you talked to him last week, right? Yeah. And can you, as much as you can, tell them, like, he's in the same situation.
Happy. I mean, not interested in going back to work.
No.
Not interested.
It doesn't have to rush out and get a job.
No, nobody. It doesn't have to rush out. Can kind of pick and choose and do what you want to do, what's fun, what you enjoy. And that's when you know you're in the sweet spot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's how you know you're in the sweet spot. And it doesn't mean that, well, Rod, you've got a lot of money. I mean, if you can pay your bills and you've got your house and you can buy a car and you can just, if you have so much money, you can throw it around and do whatever you want. I'd love to be in that situation. I don't have, they call it FU money, right?
Right.
I don't have
it. Nor do I.
But I can still do what I wanted. You make decisions in other areas, right? Lower your expenses then, right?
Yeah.
Don't drive as fancy of a car. But when you get in that spot where you can pick and choose and you can do things for the right reasons because you want to do them and you're excited to do them, that's when you're in the sweet spot.
And I think unless you've been in those shoes, you'll never get it. Because I think people would say, well, you're going to miss working, like full-time, the grind. Step off the treadmill one time. It's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And for Don Cherry, he said it in this interview, and Tim Cherry said it to you. They enjoy doing the podcast. Tim does all the technical thing. Don Cherry sits in front of a mic and talks and gives his thoughts.
They make sandwiches.
There's nothing greater than that.
They have a great family lunch after. They get together every week.
Yeah, life is great.
You know, he's got the kids there. They talk sports, and then they have lunch, and it's the greatest day of the week. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, but when people say, you're going to miss working. Have you ever not worked? Well, no. You should try it sometime. It's nice. Overtime coming up. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus Television Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Dupes. And producer Clark just called us dingleberries. I haven't heard that term in a long time.
In what context? Couple of dingleberries?
That's what he said. There are different definitions of what a dingleberry is. We'll have to talk about that in our post-game meeting today. Did you hear the laugh from in there? Obviously, he has his own. He said not dangleberries, dingleberries.
A foolish or inept person.
You just Googled it that fast?
Yeah, dingleberry.
That's not what my definition
was.
Let's
see what Urban Dictionary has to say.
Yeah.
You go. I'll let you know if it's appropriate.
You do you. Prairie Mobile text line.
I think I found your definition of dingleberry.
I know. Okay, then I got it.
Oh, yeah.
A sports term. You can't read it on the air, can you?
It's not a sports term.
But I know, but that's where I picked it up.
Of course.
That's where I picked it up.
Of course.
You didn't know what that was?
Oh, I did, but I just forgot. It's been so long, yeah. Right?
Is that what you just called us? DG in Saskatoon. Morning, guys. Thought it was interesting that Arash brought up paying a premium for tickets. The SJHL exhibition season kicks off tonight in Flin Flon. I know of one team charging $20 for exhibition games because of the crowd limit. Last year it was $5. A $15 increase at that level? What would the CFL premium purchase be? I think that's the way that they got to do it. And by the way, please tell me you're not complaining that you got to pay $20 to go watch a junior A game. Please. They should be charging $100. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Viewer Jeff Kozak says, wow, stay off the Red Bull. LOL. Tell Clark. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny stuff.
It's funny stuff.
But just to get serious for a second, and I won't go too long over the show today because I got to go to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. I'm excited about that.
Woo!
Just so you know what I'm doing, I'm going for lunch with the Ultimate Fan Zone, Billy, over there. I'm going to stop in and see what he's got for Cowboys merchandise because I'm not abandoning my team. And the Mad Greek, Johnny Atreides, we're all going for lunch.
Yep.
And then I'm going over to see the Warriors at 3:15, the pesky Moose Jaw Warriors. Curtis Hunt used to call them the pesky Warriors. And Abu said to stop by his office because he's got an office in Moose Jaw. So we're making a day of it.
Perfect.
In Moose Jaw. But with the Canadian Football League, it is serious stuff. another pay cut of 15%, Arash was saying. I think if I thought I would actually get the direct story, I'd ask for it. But I don't think I'd get the direct story if I was poking around and asking for it. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like, what really, guys, are you going to do in 2021? I don't think anybody would tell me the right thing. And even if I went right up to the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, I don't think he would tell me because he doesn't know. I don't think he'd lie to me or try to snow me, but I don't think they know. Arash says he's been talking to health officials. I've been talking to health officials. I've been talking to government officials. And you listened to Dave Naylor's interview on TSN Vancouver yesterday, where he said this isn't, they're not going to be opening up to crowds until spring of next year at the earliest. And I swear to God, if Arash Madani or Ron Robinson or Gary Bettman sat there with the top health, with Dr. Anthony Fauci and put a gun to his head and said, Dr. Fauci, tell me, what's it going to look like next June? Can we sell tickets or not? He doesn't know. Fauci would not be able to say.
Doesn't know. Because he can't.
And it's not his fault either.
No, he can't predict human behavior, right? He can understand the virus, right? I think we've had enough time to test the virus and how much it spreads and the death rate and all that kind of stuff. But he can't predict human behavior. He can tell you to wear a mask, tell you to, you know, social distance. Right. Please don't cough on each other. And you know what? If the world literally shut down for 2 weeks, like we didn't move.
Then it would be gone.
It'd have been gone in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
That's the truth. Theoretically, the truth.
That's what they say.
So we could have been done this 8 months ago. But you can't predict human behavior, right? You can't predict it. So you can't say what's going to happen in 2021, if we're going to be open, if we're not going to be open. You don't know. I mean, we have elections coming up in this province, and we're going to have elections in the United States, and they're going to keep coming all over the world. We don't know what somebody in power is going to say about reopening or not opening, or the restrictions they're going to put in place in each province or in each country.
So the point that I'm getting to by bringing that up is, it depends on how you look at things. Darren looks at things long form, which is good for us because I look at what's right here every day, and it drives everybody nuts. I'm only dealing with what's right in front of me, and it works for me. But we need a guy looking down the road, too.
Mm-hmm.
So for the CFL, you can look down the road as much as you want and do your projections and you're this and you're that. But you literally need to look in your bank account and say, how many staff can we pay here today? And they were running out of time and running out of money. Hence the pay cuts. Hence more layoffs. Because they're not going to take out loans to pay their staff. They're just not. They're going to be saying goodbye to people.
That's
Monty, turn your phone off right now. Turn it off. Goodbye. Bye, Monty. Goodbye. Shut it off.
That's the difference between a CEO and a president, right? And that's why you need both. And it's tough for one guy to do both jobs. And that's why you need to be able to have a guy who's literally worried about making sure we're moving in the right direction and looking down the road. And then you need that president who's actually dealing with day-to-day operations, making sure, can we make payroll?
Yeah.
Are we taking care of this guy and that guy and the roadblocks and actually navigating the day-to-day? And let your CEO go out and make sure that you guys are building towards the future and building the growth of the league and the company and everything else. You know, who's the guy in the CFL office that's dealing with the day-to-day? Who's the guy that's got boots on the ground that's actually taking care of today and tomorrow, right? Because Randy's clearly got a vision for the future.
Oh, yeah.
But the owners, they're worried about today and tomorrow. And so are the players, right? So we don't know who that guy is that's worried about today and tomorrow in the league office.
Yep, we don't know. Just an interesting comment from Jay Nordic before we go off the air. He says, I don't miss the CFL. And I'm sad about it. All the time and money spent, I've chalked up as a loss. What an interesting comment that is. And we're just going to have to carry it over until tomorrow when it's a Football Friday with John Frenzy. Would you mind typing up here, Clark, who's going to be with us tomorrow for Football Friday? Because, no, it's not updating. Okay, because I'm hearing it a lot from people that they don't miss the CFL. And the only reason is because they've been distracted by other things. Maybe it's that family time. Maybe it's the new boat they bought. Maybe it's the NFL's playing and they, you know what I mean, it's filled that void. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be as honest and real as a heart attack right here. I'm hearing it a lot. I miss it, but it hasn't affected my life. We're still working. I feel terrible for my friends in the league. I've missed it, but I've just heard from people that you would think would miss it too,
mm-hmm.
that say they haven't. And there's your proof. Tomorrow, John Frenzy is back, plus Tori Gurley's NFL analysis, Tori's tips for Wheaton Kia and FanDuel. And Sportsnet's Tara Sloan joins us as well. We're trying to get her to perform on The Sim. Apparently,
great.
She's an entertainer.
I did not know.
A singer.
I did not know. That'd be really cool.
I'll ask her about it tomorrow. Moose Jaw coming to see you right now. And we'll see the rest of you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain on Game Plus TV and here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.